New York Sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yes, we've hit the noon hour. Mark Melusis in for BT and Sal. Zoo Hoff across the way, other side at the controls, rolling right up until 2. Tiki and Marash, right? They come your way then this afternoon. Take you through the afternoon hours right here on WFAN. And you know, we kicked off the program this morning, talk a lot about the Giants. And point number one, especially, you know, obviously after, you know, episode 3 last night of Hard Knocks offseason with the New York Giants, a couple of takeaways from it. Number one, there seems to be this persistent, nonsensical viewpoint of John Mara, the co-owner of the New York Giants, that he is this kind of meddling guy that gets his own way when it comes to player personnel decisions, and that is just simply not the case. Listen, Saquon Barkley is a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. He was the most marketable Giant on the team. He was the most popular Giant on the team. Mara, heck, said it in the meeting that you saw last night during the 37-minute episode of Hard Knocks. And Saquon Barkley is an Eagle. He's not a New York Giant. This whole idea that, you know, John Mara, Tish, they've made some bad decisions. They've entrusted the Giant organization over the years, you know, and made some bad decisions, whether it be, you know, Dave Gettleman, obviously Shermer's a head coach, Joe Judge is a head coach. I think you come out of the first 3 episodes here and you have a feeling of Daboll and Shane that he's entrusted this organization with the right men. The connection that those two have, the connectivity, the vision that they have for Giant football and how to go about their business. But the idea that John Mara now is Jerry Jones, that John Mara is Daniel Snyder, I mean, that thought process needs to go out the window. And if you think that, then you're just lying to yourself. And you're believing what you want to believe. Any owner of anything, regardless of entity, is going to ask those that are running that specific entity the questions that need to be asked. Just like Arthur Blank, I'm sure, asked the question down in Atlanta, or else he should have, right? After the Atlanta Falcons signed Kirk Cousins to be their quarterback and gave him all that guaranteed money, why are we drafting Michael Penix to go out there and sit the bench? Those questions need to be asked, because if they're not, by the guy that, or gal, or co-owners of that particular organization, you know what? They're not doing their job. And if you don't have varying viewpoints within an organization about a particular player, you know what? Your organization's not being run properly as well. What you don't want to have is yes men left and right. Yes, great decision. Yes, perfect decision. Yes, this is the way we need to go. No, it's good to have contrarian viewpoints. And we've had a couple calls this morning call up and, you know, being critical of Mara and the Giants ownership group. Well, like I mentioned, there are things to be critical on and there are things that are nonsense. Thinking of him as a meddling owner that gets his own way when it comes to player personnel and that it's his way or the highway, well, you're just not paying attention and you're going to believe what you want to believe. As far as Saquon goes, you know, yeah, got a little bit more of a color to the negotiations, a little bit more of a feel to the negotiations. But in the end, I think what he came away with was this, is that, you know, Saquon thought it was time for a change. And ultimately, Joe Shane, who didn't draft Saquon Barkley second overall, Dave Gettleman did coming out of Penn State. Joe Shane and the Giant Brain Trust felt it was time to move on as well. And they were not going to meet the contract that he ultimately got with the Philadelphia Eagles. Is it going to be painful? For sure. Potentially. I mean, this upcoming football season, Saquon, whenever you talk about Barkley, you have to talk about whether or not he stays healthy. But if he stays healthy, if he remains on the football field, with that Eagle team that looks at Barkley as being the finishing piece to win another Super Bowl, Could Barkley go out there and have, you know, 1,700 yards of total offense, double-digit touchdowns, be really tough to watch, have a couple revenge games against the New York Giants? For sure. But Saquon's path of relevancy in the National Football League. And where he is as a player is a different one than the New York Giants. I think we all have to be realistic with that. When you look at both of them, Saquon right now, the clock is ticking. The Eagles are looking at him as a finishing piece. It's going to be tough. He landed in the NFC East. As John Mara talked about last night, it'll be tough if he ends up with Philadelphia. I'm going to have a sleepless night. There's and sleepless nights. No doubt. Absolutely. It's going to be tough to watch Barkley star for the Philadelphia Eagles, a hated organization, the rival, one of the big rivals of the New York Giants. But what the Giants have learned in watching Philadelphia, you know, dismantle them time and time again is this. The Giants have learned as an organization, all football teams know this. Some stay true to it, some don't. Yes, you have to have the quarterback. It's a quarterback-driven league. Yes, you need playmakers at the wide receiver position. But in the end, you got to win at the point of attack. And what the Giants and what you learned last night was that the Giants valued offensive line and an edge rusher over a safety in Xavier McKinney, who they are never going to pay $17 million a year, and over Saquon Barkley. And you can get into kind of the history of it about how we ended up here and how the Giants ended up here and the negotiations from a couple of from last offseason and all of those things. But in the end, the Giants made the correct football decision because you have to win football games at the point of attack. And if you don't, you're not going to be a consistent winner. Protect yours, get after theirs. It's a simple mantra, simple cliche, simple kind of coaching thing, but that's easy when you look at the NFL. We're going to get a little bit more of a feel and a flavor about the Giants' involvement in the draft class of this past NFL draft next, you know, in the next episode of this, which airs next week. And I think what you're going to learn is what we already know. The Giants were intrigued, wanted to bring in a quarterback, couldn't get the quarterback they loved. We know that. They scouted each and every one of them. They were drafting sixth overall. When you're drafting sixth overall, you want to try and get your quarterback of the future. Jones, they can get out from underneath that contract after this upcoming season. Coming off injuries, two neck injuries, and a torn ACL. The Giants, unfortunately, had three teams that were at the top of the draft all needing a quarterback. Chicago, Washington, and New England. And the top three prospects in this quarterback class went 1-2-3. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May. And you couldn't get your guy. And the Giants, rightfully so, did not compound the problem by drafting a quarterback because of the perceived or the need at the quarterback position. And now it's up for Daniel Jones, just like he did year one with Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, to go out there and prove people wrong. And we'll see if he can. Got to stay healthy. Offensive line should be significantly better unless they suffer a cavalcade of injuries. But now it's up to Jones to show himself that he can be a winning quarterback once again. And if he stays healthy, we've already seen Daniel Jones respond once. Now he's got to respond twice. Want to thank our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you, at Town Fair Tire, you can always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires you trust from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire, and I mean nobody. Out to Staten Island we go. It's Ira. It's the fan. What's going on, Ira?
All good, Moose. And, you know, before I get to the Jets part, you know, it's nice to have an owner, if you're whatever fan you are, when the owner steps aside and lets the football, baseball, basketball, they let them make the decisions. Owners, they are very wealthy. The own teams, they do get involved. But when it comes down to making big decisions, you want your football people to make those decisions. So, you know, they did the right thing. And getting to the Adams situation, listen, there's just too much noise at this point. It's just whether it gets done, whether it's during it right before the trade deadline or by the end of August. But I clearly expect him to be a member of the Jets at some point. And, you know, everybody's talking about the salary cap that the Raiders get. I looked this up, and, you know, if I didn't understand this properly, I think I did. If the Raiders trade him anytime after June 1st, they save $17 million towards their cap. They take a little bit of a dead money hit, but the Jets are going to have to give up a first-round pick and probably a fourth-round pick. Because Diggs, the Bills originally got Diggs from the Vikings. They had to give up four picks. Adams is 4 or 5 years older, okay? So I think the value will be a little less, but I think they're going to have to help financially with some of this money to get this done. And at the end of the day, if Rodgers wants to get it done, it's going to get done.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a contrarian viewpoint. I mean, who wouldn't want Davante Adams on your offense? If you're a Jet fan, why wouldn't you celebrate? He's an unbelievable wide receiver. He's been remarkably productive, whether he's had Aaron Rodgers at quarterback or whether he's had Aiden O'Connell and Jimmy Garoppolo at quarterback. It doesn't matter. And that's what you want. I mean, that's exactly what you want. So, yeah, I think if you're Joe Douglas, it might be, you know, a two that becomes a one based on the way that Adams plays. I mean, I don't know exactly what the compensation is going to be. He's got an opt-out for the 25 season. Davante Adams does. That would result in a $15.7 million dead cap for the Vegas Raiders. There is a lot of smoke to it. There's been a lot of conversation. Obviously, Boomer, Orlovsky, everything that we've seen here as of late just this week. We played the cut when he was on the Club Shay Shay podcast with Shannon Sharp. Adams talking about the fact that if there was one player he'd like to reunite with, it would be Aaron Rodgers. It would set the Jets' offense up to be remarkably successful with the big IF, if the offensive line does their job up front.
Right, if they do their job, and then they could get rid of Lazard. And then with Mike Williams, you know, you don't have to, if the knee isn't 100% right, it's not a big deal because now you got Adams and Wilson. So to me, this is a no-brainer. And let's face it, the Jets are all in to win it this year.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they wouldn't be making these type of moves.
Well, that's it. Everyone's job is on the line. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has talked about it. I mean, everyone's job is on the line for the New York Jets. He said, you know, just like everybody else in the National Football League, not so much, but for the Jets, it is. Woody Johnson completely perturbed by the way that last year looked after Rodgers suffered the injury. But they're all back because Rodgers is comfortable. Rodgers is happy. Rodgers likes the brain trust that is in place. So therefore, everyone stayed in place. Nathaniel Hackett, even with the reports that the Jets tried to get rid of him as offensive coordinator or bring in another play caller that would oversee what Nathaniel Hackett is doing. As we do know, Rodgers is going to be the guy that's going to be calling the plays, changing the plays at the line of scrimmage. And the relationship between Rodgers and Hackett is important, but yeah, ultimately, when this does happen, if it happens, Jet fans are going to be celebrating, and rightfully so. Long Beach we go. It's Mario. It's the fan. What's going on, Mario? Mario is not paying attention. Tarrytown we go. It's Ryan. What's going on, Ryan?
Good afternoon, Moose. Hope all is well. I got a couple of questions and a few ideas. I'll make it quick, though, okay?
Yeah, let's go.
I think, you know, does David Stearns even know when the trade deadline is? I think Diaz's brother in Cincinnati has got to go demand the trade. We'll give him Nimmo and Beatty. The incentive for Nimmo to go to Cincinnati is he's only 3,000 hits in 5 years away from Pete Rose's record. Moose, who's going to win the World Series this year? And I also think we should get rid of Lindor's contract, maybe send him back to Cleveland, bring back Jimenez, and get rid of Boone and bring in Dusty Baker. God bless, guys.
All of this is logical, Ryan. Appreciate the call. All of it makes sense. Who wins the World Series this year? I'd probably tell you, I think the Philadelphia Phillies are probably the favorite to win the Fall Classic come October, and rightfully so. Love to tell you, sit here and tell you I think it's the Yankees. Not with the way that they have trended as of late. And we'll see exactly what the sprint. I think they have 64 games to go. Once the second half resumes Friday against Tampa, and then we get Subway Series round two, this time in the Bronx, early next week, which I'm looking forward to.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
They've done it against the Atlanta Braves. They've come from 7 runs down here at the bottom of the 8th inning. They lead it 11-8.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, time right now for a Jersey Mike's Yankees box office blitz. We got a pair of field-level tickets to see the Bronx Bombers against the Tampa Bay Rays at Yankee Stadium Sunday, July 21st. Right now, be the third call. Third caller, Hoff. 866-540-WFAN, 866-540-9326 for your chance to win. It's all from Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees box office blitz. And, of course, The Fan. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win. Aaron Rodgers obviously drew a lot of ire from a lot of people, a lot of anger, a lot of disgust when he was not in mandatory minicamp. And as we come to know, he was over in Egypt and had a pre-planned trip. It's interesting because, you know, Figgy and I, we do Sports Nation Nightly on Picks every night at 7 o'clock. We had Zach Rosenblatt. Does a great job. Diana Rossini and Rosenblatt did that great, you know, story, not investigative, but kind of exposing the Jets, for a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff of just really how big of a disaster it was last year after last season came to an end. Well, Rosenblatt, when he joined us last night, and we talked about Devontae Adams. We'll get to that in a little bit. Basically said that, you know, from his understanding is that Rodgers was bothered as well by how the Jets handled that entire situation. That the Jets knew about the trip. He had told the Jets about the trip and was a little bit bothered by the use of the term unexcused by Robert Saleh. Now, Saleh did couch it and basically tell you that if it's good for Aaron, it's good for the Jets. But it just adds to it something that I've talked about time and time again. I just didn't understand at the time why the Jets as an organization decided to handle it the way that they did. Clearly, somebody in the building was bothered that Rodgers was not going to be there. But it brought all the negativity back into the equation, which brings you into because the Jets are going to be the Jets, right? They haven't made the playoffs in, 2010 was the last time they made it to the postseason. Last year, Aaron Rodgers, it was the great buildup. He lasted four plays. And now all of a sudden we're talking about the Jets potentially going out there with that kind of as the backdrop. And do I think that's necessarily going to come into play? But it's going to be interesting when Rodgers is asked about it, when he reports to Florham Park about, how the Jets handled his minicamp, being out at minicamp and not being there and being over in Egypt and taking a trip, even though the Jets knew about that trip and he told them about the trip and he was out front about when the timing of the trip was, and then the Jets decided to handle it the way that he did. And you say to yourself, well, the Jets can't really necessarily get out of their own way. And if you are a, non-Jet fan right now and listening to the fact of, well, regardless of whether or not they get Devontae Adams, this team is not winning. They're not all of a sudden going to go from a team that, hasn't made the playoffs, has been known for failure, has been an embarrassment. There, has been more a case of inability to get out of their own way. And now all of a sudden they're going to go from that to being this team to be reckoned with based on what? Don't necessarily believe in the coach. Don't necessarily believe in the offensive coordinator. Revamped offensive line. Got a little bit of age to him. Rodgers now coming off a torn Achilles. Yeah, throw Devontae Adams into the mix. It'll only add to the disgust and the failure even more and take it to another level. I mean, that would be the lean. That would be the negatory lean. But it's interesting that Rodgers was bothered by it, because I think a lot of people were surprised that Saleh would handle it the way that he did. And you might say, well, the quarterback put himself and put the head coach in a bad spot. Well, not if the Jets and Rodgers was upfront, honest, open, and told him about it well beforehand. And then they decided to do that. I was talking to Hoff during the course of one of the breaks. I was asking him, if they add Devontae Adams, you think the Jets are winning the Super Bowl this year?
No.
Why not?
They haven't been to the playoffs since 2011 or 2010, whatever it is. Like, how you just don't go from not making the playoffs for 10 plus years to winning a Super Bowl. They need to have some sort of sustainability first, I think. I don't think they are not built.
Are they a playoff team this year?
Probably.
If they're not a playoff team, everyone gets fired.
Well, they should get fired anyway.
You think Rodgers stays healthy for the entire year?
I would say he plays about 75% of the games.
75%, that's it.
Yeah. I think that's a good number.
That is
he played 0% last year.
Right.
Sorry, he played 0.2.
That's exactly right. He lasted four snaps. That was it. And then he was done for the season. And then he was done for the year. So you're not one of those football fans that look at it and say, well, if they get Devontae Adams, this is going to be a team and a force to be reckoned with.
No, because their leadership is broken. They have none. So why do I think that this team is going to go deep? They have no real leader. The only leader is Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't want to lead the team.
Lewis in Short Hills up next to the fan. What's going on, Lewis?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Lewis.
I've been a Jets fan since 1980. I'm 54. I have never seen them in a Super Bowl. I've never seen them win a Super Bowl. And you can blame Aaron Rodgers. You can blame Nathaniel Hackett. You can blame Robert Saleh. You can blame the GM. It actually comes down to ownership. I don't understand why Woody gets a pass. You know, he's owned the team now for 20-plus years. They've had how many playoff appearances? They've had, like, how many divisions? Like, I blame Woody. The fish stinks from the head. If this was how he ran Johnson & Johnson as the CEO, he would have been out. He would have been off the board. But everybody seems to love him. I don't get it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Lewis, I don't know who you're talking to. I don't know a lot of Jet fans that are in love, ingratiated, have the kind of have the warm, fuzzy feelings that you do toward the Jet owner. I don't sense that at all. I think Woody. I don't think you're wrong. I think Woody Johnson has made some bad decisions, holding on to Rex Ryan, John Idzik. I do. I mean, succumbing to the request of Peyton Manning when they hired Adam Gase. I mean, there's a number of reasons why this Jet organization has been where they have been, and I do give him credit. They were aggressive. He loves star quarterbacks. They were aggressive when, to go get Favre at the time. They were aggressive to go get Aaron Rodgers. The acquisition of Aaron Rodgers changed everything, put expectations on this team and this organization, but for sure, Woody Johnson needs to be held accountable. He owns the team. But there's a different level, right? So it's a matter of who you hired, who you brought in, who you entrusted, the job that they did, how much patience you show to those individuals based on the job that they did.
Is he held to a similar level of accountability as Dolan is with the Knicks and the Rangers? Is he held to the same level of accountability as the former Mets owners were? He skates.
Those are two extremes on for two completely different reasons. The Met owners, it was a lack of spending. The Met fan was frustrated with the Wilpons and Saul Katz because they didn't operate like a big market team. You look at Jim Dolan. Yeah, Jim Dolan started to step in. He was upset with Donnie Walsh when they didn't get LeBron James, stepped into the Carmelo Anthony trade with the Denver Nuggets. Like, Jim Dolan got in the way. Jim Dolan stayed out of hockey because he realized that he doesn't, like a lot of people in this area, not to insult everybody, but they don't pay attention. He doesn't know hockey. So he stayed out of the hockey operations and turned it over to Glenn Sather and let him operate as he sees fit. And we just saw Glenn Sather's retiring, but you've had Gorton, John Davidson fired those guys because people around the NHL are telling them that the Rangers have talent to go out there and win a Stanley Cup. Why are we win a Stanley Cup? In steps Chris Drury, who was within the organization. So Dolan interfered with Isaiah and the Knicks because Jim Dolan thought he knew basketball. Yes, he interfered. Woody Johnson, hasn't had the other headlines that Jim Dolan has, which has put a black eye on the Knicks for year in and year out, right? And we've been down that road, talked about it. The Knicks right now are in a very good spot with Leon Rose and Tom Thibodeau, and Jim Dolan's no longer part of the equation because he's stayed out of it, and he's got basketball-savvy guys running the organization. Woody Johnson's failures are he has hired the wrong people to run the organization.
Imagine if any other New York franchise had a 14-year playoff.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Imagine.
New York never wins anymore.
Nothing.
I mean, they win nothing. I mean, they really don't. We couldn't even get the Liberty across the finish line last year. New York wins nothing. The Rangers won 55 games in a President's Trophy. They lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, the Devils had a disastrous season. They fired their head coach. The Islanders, were okay this year. The Yankees haven't won a World Series since 2009. The Mets haven't won a World Series since 1986. Giants haven't won a Super Bowl since 2011. Jets haven't won a Super Bowl since Joe Namath. I mean, go up and down the line, nobody wins. The Knicks haven't won an NBA championship since 1973. Brooklyn Nets, you want to throw them into the equation? I mean, they couldn't win with Durant and Kyrie and James Harden. That all collapsed and fell apart. New York doesn't win anymore.
It's crazy. And we used to be the center of the sports universe, and we are not. And it really sucks. As a fan, it's really depressing. Consistently depressing.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough, and that's why. It's tough, and I get it, Lewis, and I understand your frustration. And if you want to vent about Woody Johnson, you have every right to vent about Woody Johnson. I mean, you could, and he's took away and took a step aside. And Chris Johnson was running things when he was under Donald Trump. He was an ambassador. I forget what country he was an ambassador to. England. Thank you, Zoo. But, you know, he stepped aside, but I'm sure he was part of the conversations. I mean, he didn't have his head in the sand. But Woody Johnson deserves blame. But, you know, now it's a scenario of what was he going to do after last year's failure? When he has a quarterback that is comfortable in Aaron Rodgers, and right now Aaron Rodgers is the New York Jets. That's why a lot of people believe, I mean, regardless of who is reporting, what Adams' agent has to say, what Adams had to say on Shannon Sharpe's podcast, that they believe that this is going to happen. That Devontae Adams is going to end up being a New York Jet because Aaron Rodgers is going to get what he wants. And the Raiders are not in a scenario right now where they can make great use, or Adams is in a winning situation getting paid a ton of money, but his window is not one and the same with the Vegas Raiders. His window would be one and the same with the New York Jets, which is the opportunity to win now. And that's what it's all about. Because if you don't, and you're like half across the way, and this ends up being a disastrous season, well, then they're all going to be out. And Adams would only make this scenario, make this offense even that much more dynamic. But that's it. And you're in the Aaron Rodgers business. Just like a lot of teams, it's a matter of leverage. He understands it. He sees it. He's smart enough. He's intelligent enough. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. In every room that he steps in, he knows that this fan base is beaten down, downtrodden. He wants to go out there and win. He wants to add to his legacy. And if he wins a Super Bowl here, it would be an unbelievable accomplishment for Aaron Rodgers. But there's a lot to overcome. The negativity of the organization, the failure of the organization, the lack of success, the culture within the franchise, last year, how it turned out. But there's no doubt. Like, when you think about former Packers that came in because at the behest of Aaron Rodgers, you know, Tim Boyle, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Turner, the offensive lineman. I mean, there's not anybody out there that would say, quibble with the idea for a team that is all in, going out there and making a deal and going to get Devontae Adams for the Vegas Raiders. 888-808-1019. Now it's a question of, does it happen? Do you believe his agent? Say it's baseless. Do you believe all the innuendo, the suggestions, the reporting that this will eventually get done? We'll see if it does. We'll see if it does.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
.1246, Malusis with you. Wednesday midday in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Michael Toms Rivers up next to the phone. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. No, I was listening before, and it's not just you, but other people have said this, and people always say, oh, well, if Rodgers stays healthy. You could say that about any single player, though. You know, like, if Patrick Mahomes gets injured, the Chiefs aren't who they are. You know, Lamar Jackson, whoever you want to bring up. And so I think the Jets have made better depth moves than they did last year, though. I mean, they went into Rodgers knowing what, you know, like he was an older quarterback, and they're falling back on Zach Wilson. I think that's their biggest mistake.
Oh, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, to have a backup quarterback last year, we addressed it at the time, that you had no intention of playing makes no sense. I mean, you're stupid as an organization. That falls on Joe Douglas. The expectations, though, Michael, you know this. Rodgers goes down to a season-ending injury, significant injury. The season expectations would change with Tyrod Taylor.
I think he's better than... I think you go to the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor.
You could, but the expectations of winning a Super Bowl would come to an end.
Oh, but that's... look at the Colts, right? Anthony Richardson gets hurt. Minshew comes in and he brings up to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like if you get that depth, I think that's more important. I mean, obviously, do you think Tommy DeVito is better than Tyrod Taylor?
No, I do not. But Michael, I think the Giants wanted to bring Tyrod Taylor back. I think the way that Tyrod Taylor was handled coming off of injury led him to go to the Jets.
as we saw last night. So he was upset and bothered by the fact that he did not get his job back right away. But the expectations are not one and the same. Like, it's different. Yes, Gardner Minshew played really, really well for the Indianapolis Colts, but let's look at it. The expectations when you acquire Aaron Rodgers is not to get to the postseason. The goal is to win a Super Bowl. And now he's 40, coming off. Now he's 40, going to be 41 in December, coming off a torn Achilles. Played four plays last year. Offensive line has been revamped. Let's not change the messaging or move the goalposts. Those are the expectations, Michael. That's why you bring the player in at this stage, is to try and do something you haven't done in quite some time.
No, like, I just think winning the Super Bowl is a very hard thing to do for anybody.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I know, so but that's why you're in the game. That's why you would go get a Davante Adams, not to just make the playoffs. The goal is let's compete with the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC East, and let's go out there and try and win a Super Bowl. That's the goal. Now, you might not accomplish it, but let's not all of a sudden make it out to be, well, no, we're trying to win 11, 12 games this year. And if we get to the playoffs or get to the playoffs, win a round, and that would be a successful year. No, I mean, in essence, the window here, and Aaron Rodgers knows this, Sala knows this, Joe Douglas knows this, every one of those players understand it. That's why they have the belief in Aaron, is to go out there and try and win that Vince Lombardi trophy.
It was up to you. What would you change? Like, what was one last thing?
What would I change?
Like, what I mean in the sense of, like, what are the Jets still missing, do you think?
I don't really think they're missing all that much. Like, I don't think they necessarily need Davante Adams in order to win or be successful as an offense. Rodgers, I think, is going to make guys around him better. It would make everyone's jobs a lot easier based on the fact, and I wouldn't scoff at the idea or criticize. I don't think there's anybody that would go take a negative slant of acquiring Davante Adams. The issue you'd have is looking at Adams and saying, well, the Jets aren't one of those teams that you look at and say, yes, I believe they are going to be successful no matter what. It's more a case of, well, you're waiting for the other shoe to fall, kicking the tin can down the street. Failure is coming. We expect gloom and doom. Oh, the pain, as we've heard Beningo say time and time again. It is tough to be a Jet fan. They will ultimately fail. They will ultimately embarrass themselves. They know no other way. That is what has defined Jet football in this Jet organization year in and year out. And Rodgers was brought here to change all that. Even at this stage of his career, even at, you know, how many years he decides to play left, whether this being his last season, next year being his last year, who knows? Taking it 1 year at a time. But Rodgers ultimately was brought here to try and win a Super Bowl. That's the goal. And that should be the goal. I mean, that's not outlandish. That's not it. I mean, it's not a matter of just trying to change the culture. The ultimate goal is to try and win. Woodbury we go. It's Sammy. It's the fan. What's going on, Sammy?
Hey, I love your show, by the way. I think you should do this every day.
Okay, Sammy. Thank you, buddy. What's on your mind?
Do you think the Mets should trade Alonso after his home run derby thing? Doesn't really see that much value anymore.
You think that's how you're going to grade out? Why exactly, Sammy, would you grade Pete Alonso based on what he did in the home run derby?
He's always this home run derby champ and stuff. He won 2 years. He's good.
Yeah, he's been in it 5 years. He's won it a couple times. I get it. You know, he had a bad performance on Monday night down in Arlington, Sammy. But if you're going to call these airwaves and appreciate the compliment and the sentiment, but if you're going to call these airwaves and think that the Mets are grading out Pete Alonso based on the fact of what he did in the home run derby, that is not part of the equation. And the Mets right now have played themselves, as we discussed on Monday and Tuesday, into contention in the wild card race in the National League. And I don't think they're going to be, and he brought it up when he got interviewed before the home run derby, that he doesn't want to go anywhere. This is home. He doesn't want to get traded. And I don't think the Mets are going to be trading Pete Alonso come the MLB trade deadline. I do not. As long as this team continues to play well, because I think Steve Cohen understands the value of having a successful baseball team or having a winning product, a watchable product, a good product on the field. And this lineup has been really good. What the Mets need to go out there and do and what the Mets need to go out there and address would be the back end of that bullpen. And we've had a number of Mets fans call up and throw in trade offers and the like. That's something that David Stearns, and they've got to get into that sooner rather than later, because you're looking at a, number one, overstressed, overused, lack of talent bullpen that has been an absolute albatross. It is amazing when you look at the way that this bullpen is pitched for the Mets, that they're still sitting three games over the 500 mark. What it shows you and what you learn from that is that this lineup has been ridiculously good and productive, which it has been. Haven't hit upon the All-Star game as of yet and wanted to touch upon that. Listen, everyone wanted to see the matchup of Paul Skenes and Aaron Judge, and you got that last night after the Soto walk. So that's a positive, and you got that. The American League wins the game. Ohtani hits a home run. You got all the, you know, I thought it was a fun event for Major League Baseball. I do. Said it yesterday. You can grade it out. Which All-Star game is better? You don't need to go into it, delve any deeper than that. Is it better than the NBA All-Star game, better than the NHL All-Star game, better than the flag football game and the skills competition you get with the National Football League? For sure. Is it more indicative of the sport that you see every day, day in, day out during the course of the MLB regular season? Yeah, that much is true as well. But I will say this. It would be nice to watch an All-Star game, especially with Major League Baseball, who is dying to market their players. Like, has done a terrible job historically of marketing their stars. And I get the argument that it's a regionalized sport. You only care about exactly what's going on in your block as compared to the NBA and the National Football League. And the NFL clearly is leaps and bounds above everybody else. But in saying that, the uniforms last night, just on, and it's great that Rob Manfred, and they're going to do their due diligence and listen to the naysayers. The uniforms that were worn last night, and these All-Star uniforms that they're putting into play, are downright terrible. I mean, last night was almost like a beer league softball uniform that you were watching. You could not exactly tell what team was being represented by who was up at the plate. Now, Judge is different because Aaron Judge, as we all watch, Alonso's different. I mean, Aaron Judge, as we all watch, he's 6'7". So you know when Aaron Judge is stepping up to the plate, you know exactly what he is. And if you're a Yankee fan, if you're a Nat fan, if you're a Padre fan, you know what Juan Soto being. But for the young baseball fan, for those that are not working in sports talk radio, working in television, working behind, whatever it might be, right, covering Major League Baseball, and you just flip that game on and you're not invested, you don't have the MLB ticket, you're not watching games in, game out, you know what? It would be nice if you're Major League Baseball, for when they step up to the plate, you have an idea of who exactly that player is and who exactly they play for. Instead of trying to figure out and find on the left sleeve the patch of what team they're representing. Go back. I mean, it's easy. It's not all that difficult. If you're Major League Baseball, and it's great that Rob Manfred and his brain trust are going to maybe go back and look at this. It's easy. Wear the home whites and the road grays. It is not all that difficult. I get you want to sell jerseys. I understand you're looking to market. I understand that it wanted to have something different. Everyone's looking for different merchandise. The uniforms are ugly. They were absolutely ugly. It was an ode to Texas, we were told. I don't know what Texas they're looking at. The highlighter colors that they were using were downright awful, and you could not tell. If you did not follow Major League Baseball, if you are a young baseball fan, 8, 9, 10, 11, what guys play for who? That is something that Major League Baseball needs to change. Get out of your own way. Stop genuflecting to the almighty dollar. Let the home team, let the whoever, whichever league is the host site. Last night was the AL. Let them wear their home whites. Have Judge run out with the pinstripes. Have Soto run out with the pinstripes. Have the National League wearing the road grays. Go back to where it used to be. You're never going to change the intensity. You're never going to change the allegiance to specific leagues, whether it be the American League or the National League. You're never going to do any of that. But make it look a lot better than it did last night. The game was entertaining. National Anthem was a lot better. I thought Arlington did a nice job, but watching that game with those jerseys and those uniforms, after a while, you say to yourself, why are they doing this? It was the uniforms, whoever designed them, God bless. 1258, Malusis with you. Come back with your calls and more. Hour left to play with. Taking it right up until 2. Marash and Tiki come your way then. Eventually get done. We'll see if it does.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
.46 Malusis with you. Wednesday midday in for BT and Sal. 888-808-1019 is your number to call. Michael Toms Rivers up next to the phone. What's going on, Michael?
Hey, what's going on? How are you?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. No, I was listening before, and it's not just you, but other people have said this, and people always say, oh, well, if Rodgers stays healthy. You could say that about any single player, though. You know, like, if Patrick Mahomes gets injured, the Chiefs aren't who they are. You know, Lamar Jackson, whoever you want to bring up. And so I think the Jets have made better depth moves than they did last year, though. I mean, they went into Rodgers knowing what, you know, like he was an older quarterback, and they're falling back on Zach Wilson. I think that's their biggest mistake.
Oh, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, to have a backup quarterback last year, we addressed it at the time, that you had no intention of playing makes no sense. I mean, you're stupid as an organization. That falls on Joe Douglas. The expectations, though, Michael, you know this. Rodgers goes down to a season-ending injury, significant injury. The season expectations would change with Tyrod Taylor.
I think he's better than – I think you go to the playoffs with Tyrod Taylor.
You could, but the expectations of winning a Super Bowl would come to an end.
Oh, but that's – look at the Colts, right? Anthony Richardson gets hurt. Minshew comes in and he brings up to the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like if you get that depth, I think that's more important. I mean, obviously, do you think Tommy DeVito is better than Tyrod Taylor?
No, I do not.
Right,
I think
so
the way,
okay, so
I think, but Michael, I think the way that, and the Giants wanted to bring Tyrod Taylor back, I think the way that Tyrod Taylor was handled coming off of injury led him to go to the Jets, as we saw last night. So he was upset and bothered by the fact that he did not get his job back right away. But the expectations are not one and the same. Like, it's different. Yes, Gardner Minshew played really, really well for the Indianapolis Colts, but let's look at it. The expectations when you acquire Aaron Rodgers is not to get to the postseason. The goal is to win a Super Bowl. And now he's 40, he's 40, going to be 41 in December, coming off a torn Achilles. Played 4 plays last year. Offensive line has been revamped. Let's not change the messaging or move the goalposts. Those are the expectations, Michael. That's why you bring the player in at this stage, is to try and do something you haven't done in quite some time.
No, like, I just think winning the Super Bowl is a very hard thing to do for anybody.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
I know, so but that's why you're in the game. That's why you would go get a Devontae Adams, not to just make the playoffs. The goal is, let's compete with the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC East, and let's go out there and try and win a Super Bowl. That's the goal. Now, you might not accomplish it, but let's not all of a sudden make it out to be, well, no, we're trying to win 11, 12 games this year. And if we get to the playoffs, or get to the playoffs, win a round, and that would be a successful year. No, I mean, in essence, the window here, and Aaron Rodgers knows this, Sala knows this. Joe Douglas knows this. Every one of those players understand it. That's why they have the belief in Aaron, is to go out there and try and win that Vince Lombardi trophy.
It was up to you. What would you change? Like, what was one last thing?
What would I change?
Like, what I mean in the sense of, like, what are the Jets still missing, do you think?
I don't really think they're missing all that much. Like, I don't think they necessarily need Devontae Adams in order to win or be successful as an offense. Rodgers, I think, is going to make guys around him better. It would make everyone's jobs a lot easier based on the fact, and I wouldn't scoff at the idea or criticize. I don't think there's anybody that would go take a negative slant of acquiring Devontae Adams. The issue you'd have is looking at Adams and saying, well, the Jets aren't one of those teams that you look at and say, yes, I believe they are going to be successful no matter what. It's more a case of, well, you're waiting for the other shoe to fall, kicking the tin can down the street. Failure is coming. We expect gloom and doom. Oh, the pain, as we've heard Beningo say time and time again. It is tough to be a Jet fan. They will ultimately fail. They will ultimately embarrass themselves. They know no other way. That is what has defined Jet football and this Jet organization year in and year out. And Rodgers was brought here to change all that. even at this stage of his career, even at, you know, how many years he decides to play left, whether this being his last season, next year being his last year, who knows? Taking it one year at a time. But that, but Rodgers ultimately was brought here to try and win a Super Bowl. That's the goal. And that should be the goal. I mean, that's not outlandish. That's not it. I mean, it's not a matter of just trying to change the culture. The ultimate goal is to try and win. Woodbury, we go. It's Sammy. It's the fan. What's going on, Sammy?
Hey, I love your show, by the way. I think you should do this every day.
Okay, Sammy. Thank you, buddy. What's on your mind?
Do you think the Mets should trade Alonso after his home run derby thing? Doesn't really see that much value anymore.
You think that's how you're going to grade out? Why exactly, Sammy, would you grade Pete Alonso based on what he did in the home run derby?
He's always this home run derby champ and stuff. He won 2 years. He's good.
Yeah, he's been in it 5 years. He's won it a couple of times. I get it. You know, he had a bad performance on Monday night down in Arlington, Sammy. But if you're going to call these airwaves and appreciate the compliment and the sentiment, but if you're going to call these airwaves and think that the Mets are grading out Pete Alonso based on the fact of what he did in the home run derby, that is not part of the equation. And the Mets right now have played themselves, as we discussed on Monday and Tuesday, into contention in the wild card race in the National League. And I don't think they're going to be, and he brought it up when he got interviewed before the home run derby, that he doesn't want to go anywhere. This is home. He doesn't want to get traded. And I don't think the Mets are going to be trading Pete Alonso come the MLB trade deadline. I do not. As long as this team continues to play well, because I think Steve Cohen understands the value of having a successful baseball team or having a winning product, a watchable product, a good product on the field. And this lineup has been really good. What the Mets need to go out there and do and what the Mets need to go out there and address would be the back end of that bullpen. And we've had a number of Met fans call up and throw in trade offers and the like. That's something that David Stearns, and they've got to get into that sooner rather than later, because you're looking at a, number one, overstressed, overused, lack of talent bullpen that has been an absolute albatross. It is amazing when you look at the way that this bullpen is pitched for the Mets that they're still sitting three games over the 500 mark. What it shows you and what you learn from that is that this lineup has been ridiculously good and productive, which it has been. Haven't hit upon the All-Star game as of yet and wanted to touch upon that. Listen, everyone wanted to see the matchup of Paul Skeens and Aaron Judge, and you got that last night after the Soto walk. So that's a positive, and you got that. The American League wins the game. Ohtani hits a home run. You got all the, you know, I thought it was a fun event for Major League Baseball. I do. Said it yesterday. You can grade it out. Which All-Star game is better? You don't need to go into it, delve any deeper than that. Is it better than the NBA All-Star game, better than the NHL All-Star game, better than the flag football game and the skills competition you get with the National Football League? For sure. Is it more indicative of the sport that you see every day, day in, day out during the course of the MLB regular season? Yeah, that much is true as well. But I will say this. It would be nice to watch an All-Star game, especially with Major League Baseball, who is dying to market their players. Like, has done a terrible job historically of marketing their stars. And I get the argument that it's a regionalized sport. You only care about exactly what's going on in your block as compared to the NBA and the National Football League. And the NFL clearly is leaps and bounds above everybody else. But in saying that, the uniforms last night, just on, and it's great that Rob Manfred, and they're going to do their due diligence and listen to the naysayers. The uniforms that were worn last night, and these all-star uniforms that they're putting into play, are downright terrible. I mean, last night was almost like a beer league softball uniform that you were watching. You could not exactly tell what team was being represented by who was up at the plate. Now, Judge is different because Aaron Judge, as we all watch, Alonso's different. I mean, Aaron Judge, as we all watch, he's 6'7". So you know when Aaron Judge is stepping up to the plate, you know exactly what he is. And if you're a Yankee fan, if you're a Nat fan, if you're a Padre fan, you know what Juan Soto being. But for the young baseball fan, for those that are not working in sports talk radio, working in television, working behind, whatever it might be, right, covering Major League Baseball, and you just flip that game on and you're not invested, you don't have the MLB ticket, you're not watching games in, game out, you know what? It would be nice if you're Major League Baseball, for when they step up to the plate, you have an idea of who exactly that player is and who exactly they play for. Instead of trying to figure out and find on the left sleeve the patch of what team they're representing. Go back. I mean, it's easy. It's not all that difficult. If you're Major League Baseball, it's great that Rob Manfred and his brain trust are going to maybe go back and look at this. It's easy. Wear the home whites and the road grays. It is not all that difficult. I get you want to sell jerseys. I understand you're looking to market. I understand that they wanted to have something different. Everyone's looking for different merchandise. The uniforms are ugly. They were absolutely ugly. It was an ode to Texas, we were told. I don't know what Texas they're looking at. The highlighter colors that they were using were downright awful, and you could not tell if you did not follow Major League Baseball, if you are a young baseball fan, 8, 9, 10, 11, what guys play for who? That is something that Major League Baseball needs to change. Get out of your own way. Stop genuflecting to the almighty dollar. Let the home team, let the whoever, whichever league is the host site. Last night was the AL. Let them wear their home whites. Have Judge run out with the pinstripes. Have Soto run out with the pinstripes. Have the National League wearing the road grays. Go back to where it used to be. You're never going to change the intensity. You're never going to change the allegiance to specific leagues, whether it be the American League or the National League. You're never going to do any of that. But make it look a lot better than it did last night. The game was entertaining. National Anthem was a lot better. I thought Arlington did a nice job, but watching that game with those jerseys and those uniforms, after a while, you say to yourself, why are they doing this? It was the uniforms, whoever designed them, God bless. 12:58, Melusis with you. Come back with your calls and more. Hour left to play with, taking it right up until 2. Marash and Tiki come your way then.